cults over here.
Cults over there.
There are cults
everywhere.
And we're going to tell you all about it with a fairy tale twist.
Welcome to
Once Upon a Cult.
Once upon a time, there was an insane woman who just generally knows a lot about weird stuff. And we got her on the show today, y'all. Hi, Natasha.
Hi.
Welcome to Once Upon a Cult. My name's Sean.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Alan.
And we're actually pushing back Zendik Farms 1 week, 2 weeks, because we had such a good opportunity to talk to crazy Natasha.
Yay.
So excited to be here.
So let me paint the picture for everybody. Natasha's a coworker, and we spend hours in the car together, and then we start working. But we spend hours in the car together, and she just regales me with all these random supernatural facts. So you got me started on Mount Shasta.
I'm literally a dumpster of useless facts. So.
Is that what that smell is?
That's how.
Yes. I'm so sorry.
So what we thought we'd do today is we'll give you some boring Rachel facts about Mount Shasta.
I like to go into little holes where I learn all the things.
Okay, okay.
Rabbit holes, one might say.
I thought they were vaginas, but rabbit holes were too. And then we'll give you some legends of Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
And we'll do it, Are You Afraid of the Dark style?
Everyone, gather around for this tale of the culties. I don't know.
You gotta throw the dirt.
The name. I did throw the dirt. You just couldn't see it.
Sounds the same without a campfire.
Yeah. Alan said we're not allowed to light a fire in the building.
It's very rude.
Our fire alarms are very sensitive.
Well, I mean, we could just turn them off.
Okay.
Just turn them off.
All right. So, Mount Shasta. If you've ever found yourself driving north up the 5 freeway from Northern California into Oregon, then you probably had the opportunity to see this beautiful mountain. It is Mount Shasta, and it has been around for thousands of years.
Thousands
of years. The Native Americans revere it as a holy place. And it's actually a really cool mountain because it is at the southern end of the Cascade Mountain Range, and it has an elevation of 14,179 feet, which means it's the second highest peak in the Cascade Mountains. And although the last known eruption was around 1250 AD, as far as like a big eruption, there's been small activity since then. It is still potentially a very active volcano, and it's actually a high threat level one. So, like, if this one had a major eruption, it's going to fuck things up. Be careful around Mount Shasta. It has four overlapping volcanic cones, and it towers 10,000 feet over the valley surrounding it. So on a clear day, it can be seen from over 140 miles away. And that's why if you've been driving up the 5 freeway, you might recognize it because you see it for a long time ahead of you, and you're like driving toward it as it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until you're like right next to it. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is snow-peaked year-round, and that's not because it's necessarily covered in snow, but it's because it has 8 glaciers on top of it. So glaciers are snow that has packed in and like ice that's just there constantly and doesn't melt throughout the year. It melts slowly, but it never melts completely. And so the mountain is part of the Shasta Trinity National Forest, and this area has a really rich history of Native American tribes, and according to anthropologists, there we go.
There you go.
The oldest known human settlement in the area dates to about 7,000 years ago, which would make that around 5,000 BC. Yeah. So that is just some facts about the beautiful Mount Shasta.
Actually, that was some fiction about what? Mount Shasta.
What?
Yeah, let's get into the facts. Okay. Wow.
Is it not actually a volcano? Is it actually a portal to another world?
Probably. We have evidence.
There's so much evidence.
So, for the, how do they say it? For the submittal of the Midnight Society.
yes.
I want to talk about the origin of the Anunnaki. Yeah. So one of the things people believe is that the Anunnaki inhabit Mount Shasta. Would you like to know what the Anunnaki are?
I would love to know. I have no idea.
So it is believed that way long ago, this alien race called the Anunnaki was like, dude, we're running out of gold.
Oh, no. Everyone really values gold.
Yeah. And apparently, I didn't know this, gold is like a byproduct of our sun. So Earth is rich with gold because of our sun. It's not something that forms on many other planets.
You need the right conditions.
You need the right conditions. So the Anunnaki came here and they're like, we want that gold. And they're like, but look at these inhabitants. They're kind of dumb.
Like, your accent is so on point.
Yeah, this is how they sounded. This is how they sounded. They were like, these guys can't mine gold for us. They're kind of stupid.
We should give them tools.
We should give them tools and we should make them smarter. So researchers find it interesting because we all of a sudden like tripled our intelligence in this one period of time. So they're like, either the Anunnaki came and just fucked some smarts into some people. Are they genetically altered us? Something that backs this up is there's actually one piece of, I think, DNA strand is how you'd say it, where they can't figure out its origin. Mm-hmm. They've been able to map every other piece of DNA except for this one. So some people believe the Anunnaki are still inhabiting Mount Shasta.
Why hasn't my 23andMe told me about my portion of yeah. DNA? Yeah,
because it's a government cover-up. Actually, I'm glad you bring that up because I'm recently like doing TikTok more.
Oh, I know. You actually watch my thing. You actually send me videos in response. What?
But I'm a little angry because TikTok, I think, thinks that I'm like a Trump-supporting Republican who loves religion.
No. So cute. How did you get on that side of TikTok? You were...
Well, stop liking those videos.
Yes. First. You can't like those videos.
Well, I think because I've been looking up a lot of conspiracy type stuff. So it's like, we know who you are. And actually, I looked it up. It's not that big of a difference between Republicans and Democrats who believe in conspiracies. It's like 53 to 46%.
Oh, he looked up Bohemian Grove, so he must be a raging redneck.
Yeah, well, he typed in I hate Trump, so maybe we should just send him some Trump videos.
We'll just see the Trump part of that.
But yeah, so there's been, do you remember what the clouds are called that like rise up from the mountain? They're like, they look like spaceships, basically.
Did they
use those lenticular?
Lenticular, yeah. A lot people used to believe they were actual UFOs coming up, and then they were like, oh, we proved they're clouds. And then now people are like, they're UFOs disguised as clouds.
I told you, that's my theory. When there's only one cloud in the sky, I'm all, that is a goddamn alien right there. Yeah.
This is the latest, latest, greatest.
Very nope.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about the Anunnaki theory?
Well... So you told us about the Anunnaki. What do they have to do with Shasta, though?
So people think that they are the clouds, like the aliens going back and forth between Mount Shasta.
Okay.
So personally, I'm kind of like, it makes more sense to me that we were made because someone was greedy than anybody actually being like, hey, let's just do this for fun. They're like, we need slave labor.
Also, there's like... the fact that maybe we weren't made and we just evolved.
Yeah.
Is also a route. That there isn't necessarily an ultimate intelligence guiding things.
Well, yeah, because we were already here and they just adapted us to mine their gold for them.
Yes. Because, like, there's also other theories that one of the places where it took the big turn in intelligence is that there was a huge tsunami that happened at that time, which is, like, they say has been proven by layers that are found in the sediment places, that it was like a 500-foot tall mile. I don't know, a really large tsunami.
That's a
that
really
killed
big tsunami,
people.
5,000 miles.
Raw big tsunami. Killed everyone, almost everyone, but the ones that survived, like, were the ones that had better intelligence. Built their ark, you know, all that good stuff, but had the intelligence. I think also because the tsunami happened because of an eruption a volcanic eruption, which caused one of those winters that happened everywhere. So it went from 2 million people all around the world to only about 2,000 breeding pairs of people all around the world. So the only ones that could survive were the ones that were, like, extra tough, had the problem-solving skills, and could actually survive a situation like that. So, I don't know.
You know, I just feel like you're factual, Rachel, today.
That's part of the Lumerian legend, so I don't know how much based in facts okay, we are. Okay.
So, yeah, so people think, where was I going to go? Oh, yeah, we have seen the Anunnaki show up in other cults as well, which is why I wanted to bring it up on this show. So now we've given them a description.
And so are they in, like, all those clouds that happen around all the other mountains too? Because, like, I feel like it's not a Mount Shasta phenomenon. I think it's like an any mountain phenomenon. Because mountains create their own microclimates around them. It'll be like totally normal down below. Yeah. And then it'll be like storming and crazy at the top of the mountain.
The Anunnaki.
That is. Oh. Now, you don't want me to reach the top of Mount Whitney. How rude.
I know. They made you sick.
They made me sick on my way up, trying to make my way to Machu Picchu. Rude. But they didn't make me sick on my way to Mount Whitney. I beat them.
Good. Good.
I beat them.
Good.
They were somewhere else. They were on Mount Whitney. Or Mount
Shasta. Probably went away that day. There was no storms.
We're not going to be here today.
Like, a guy almost was, like, dead at the top of the mountain there, but we saved his life. It all went really well. So, this one does. Well, interesting.
Which one do you want to bring up?
Well, since we usually talk about cults, I guess the one that's pretty relevant to that is the I Am Activity movement, which was founded by someone named Guy Ballard. He hiked up Mount Shasta during August of the 1930s, and he claimed that on his hike up, well, first off, he was hiking to see to find the Great White Brotherhood.
Which, it's a terrible name for a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Why?
You know, the cis man on his hike to find the Great White Brotherhood. No red flags there.
Were they even a brotherhood?
But yeah, on his way to finding this brotherhood, he encountered someone named the Count of Saint Germain. And no, he's not a vampire.
No. But he does live forever.
Yes, he does.
And he might be a time traveler.
And he might be a vampire.
Never count that out.
Yeah, that is the other theory.
That
he may or may not have also been Francis Bacon. So there's a lot of things that he may... And that... So there's that theory that he may have been Francis Bacon, and also that Francis Bacon may have actually written Shakespeare's plays, not Shakespeare, because there's so much political discussion in his plays, and it was a way for them to sort of disseminate propaganda to the people by making it entertainment. So there's a lot of theory involved in Saint Germain.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I ended up going into a rabbit hole about this guy because apparently he shows up in a lot of different, like, Freemasons have accounts of him being a member and stories about him. They have rumors that he was actually around at the time of Christ. Aside from the vampire theory, there's also the theory that the reason he lived forever is because he knew alchemy. And so he had, like, the eternal elixir.
Yeah, he created the Sorcerer's Stone. Yeah.
I thought that was Nicholas Flamel.
It was, actually, Nicholas Flamel.
But he probably worked with him, or that was one of the many names he went by.
And then, what was the other thing? So Christian Rosenkreuz, who founded the Rosicrucian Order, the Order of the Rosy Cross, the theory also is that he was also him. So there's that floating around as well. And the Rosicrucians, as you may or may not know, was like a subgroup of the Freemasons. So you had to be really high up in the Freemasons to become a Rosicrucian. So it was like this super elite group that he founded within the Freemasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And some of the reasons, like, the questions they had about him, he was clearly very wealthy, but he had no bank accounts and no one knew, like, where he came from, but he would show up in courts. Like, he spent some time in the Venetian court and, like, then came over to the French courts and was an advisor to Marie Antoinette.
Spoke like 9 languages.
Yeah, nine languages. But like no record of where he actually came from. There were theories about him being like the son of a prince of Transylvania. But they're like, hey, he doesn't need bank accounts because he has the Sorcerer's Stone, so he can turn lead into gold at will and live forever.
And that leads to the gold theory that you have with
gold. Yes.
It's a full circle.
It all leads back.
All about gold. But yeah, one thing I love about this guy going and doing his hike on the mountain is he was very into theosophy. So this wasn't just like a normal everyday guy going to do the hike and was magically come upon. Oh no, this guy has done all the reading. Super into theosophy, which it's actually its own kind of religion in quotes, that believes in an ancient and secretive brotherhood of spiritual adepts known as masters.
Ascended masters.
Yeah. And it was saying that like most of the ascended masters come from Tibet, which is really interesting because Tibet also ties into the Lumerian theories.
You're obsessed.
I know. I went down a rabbit hole. And they have great wisdom and supernatural powers, and they're trying to revive this ancient knowledge in man. So by coming and teaching us, and they believe in reincarnation, as our most favorite of people do. And they actually like say that some of the masters that we all kind of know who were really just the best masters are people like Abraham, Moses, Solomon, Jesus, Gautama, Buddha. I can't say that name, mm-hmm. Buddha, basically, Confucius, and of course the good old Comte de Saint-Germain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, he found this guy glowing in a white robe.
It's always white robes.
It's always white robes.
Yeah.
That's what the Lemurians always, like, people cite them with white robes on. They have apparently gone into Mount Shasta, the town. Mm-hmm. Like, there's historical records of them having visited the town in white robes. Mm-hmm. They apparently sent a contingent to San Francisco at one point because they wanted to... Yeah.
Are you telling me about that?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
They need to share the knowledge.
Yeah, they wanted to...
You guys, we are all living in the third dimension right now. And if we can make our way up to the fifth dimension, if we can raise our vibrations to the fifth dimension, then they can reveal themselves to us. So they have to give us this knowledge to help us raise our vibration to the fifth dimension.
On mushrooms.
Just do that. It'll take you there for the night. We all need to simultaneously do that around the world, and then the Lumerians will reveal themselves.
Did you have anything else on the count?
Not the count itself, but just so after he had this experience on Mount Shasta, guy who actually changed his name now to Godfrey Ray King and his wife Lotus started preaching their ideas to the rest of the world. They started their own publishing book company called St. Germain Press, and just really trained the people out to spread this message. But they did it freely. Like, they didn't have to... They didn't charge people for it, but they did accept love gifts from people.
I often receive love gifts.
Yeah. I don't receive enough love gifts.
All the time.
But yeah, what they believed in is a mix of Christianity and also patriotism. Mm-hmm. America.
Ew.
Yeah. But yeah, the term I am came from the Book of Exodus, which is... basically encounter the burning bush where Yahweh said that I am what I am. So basically the belief is that God is in everybody and they should, you know, spread that godness to everybody.
Yeah. And it's like an affirming practice as well. They say by affirming something one desires, one may cause it to happen. So they very much believe in manifestation.
Yeah.
So like kind of writing in your journal, I am doing very well with all my money because I roll around in it every day. Eventually, that will come true.
Mm. And I love gifts.
I'm going to try that today.
Yeah.
It will totally
roll around in my
$5. It'll be amazing.
Can't wait. Coins work?
They did for Scrooge, but yeah. And they're still active today. Mm-hmm. If you go onto their website, you guys, these guys love doing pageants. Very good pageants, and you can go onto their website and watch their pageants, and they have like one that was all about angels, and they have these huge angel wings on, and the acting is next level great.
Better than Kristen Stewart?
Better than Kristen Stewart, I would say. And it was so funny, there's one of them where the first half hour of this recording it didn't even start. It was just like sitting there watching people slowly enter the auditorium and sit down in their seats. But you could see Mount Shasta in the distance. I was like, okay, maybe if I go ahead 5 minutes, maybe another five. Okay, where does the pageant start? Like, so the first, it was a 50-minute video, and the first half hour was just people, like, arriving to the location and sitting down.
Sounds great.
It was really good, high quality. Costumes were wonderful.
All right, Tasha, who do you want to bring to the table?
So I wanted to talk about the Lemurians and the underground city of Telos. So, according to legend, there was a prospector from England who discovered this lost city under Mount Shasta in 1904. His name was J.C. Brown. He was hired by a mining company in England to prospect, surprise, for gold.
I love gold, Mr. Powers.
So he found a cave, which sloped downward for 11 miles into the mountain, and he found an underground village filled with gold, and also shields and mummies. So
mummies that were 10 feet tall.
Yeah. Yes, 10 feet tall. That is correct. And then 30 years later, he told this story to a man named John C. Root, who decided to basically start an exploration team. And 80 people joined the team. But the day the team was going to go out and do their research, Brown didn't show up and was never heard from again.
Yeah. Never again.
That's so
again.
Weird.
They came for him in the night.
They did.
So the theory about Lemuria is that it, much like Atlantis, which was in the Atlantic, was an island in the Indian Ocean. At some point, it sank into the Indian Ocean, but they had some sort of forewarning, so the remaining Lemurians were able to cross a land bridge, whatever the case was, float, I don't know, fly.
they did have dragons to fly upon,
perfect.
So...
and made their way to Mount Shasta, where they built their city called Telos. And so, Lemurians, as all of us at this table know, that's how lemurs
came
got
to
their
be.
Name. Because of lemurs on Lemuria.
Yeah.
And they're very tall. They're typically super Aryan looking. Blonde hair, blue eyes, really tall, statuesque. And... often in white robes. I think everyone's witnessed them in nothing but white robes. But like I said, people in the town of Mount Shasta have lots of historical sightings. People have, there are records of people having, there's no photos of them, of course, because this happened, ages ago and no one had their phones on them. Lots of sightings within the town, people coming down to buy supplies and take them back to their secret bunker village in the mountain. There has been, there was a hiker recently, probably in the last 5 or 10 years, who was hiking the PCT, which is the Pacific Crest Trail, who stopped along the Pacific Crest Trail near Mount Shasta, just to take a break, and saw someone in white robes, tried to follow them. And then he went into the cave, kind of disappeared, was not located for 2 months, came back out, had no idea that he had been gone that long.
Wow.
I didn't hear the story about him. I heard a story about another hiker that saw two people all clothed in white while he was on the PCT. Mm-hmm. And at night when he would sleep, even though he kind of went off the trail, then he would hear at night.
Yeah, people walking around the tent.
And then So the next day he tried to find a really there's no way they could find me where I am camping here. And he set up sticks that would be cracked so he could hear it. And night after night, he would hear them coming mm-hmm. to the outside. And then eventually he just got the fuck out of there.
Well, so Mount Shasta, the Shasta Trinity National Park, National Forest, is one of the places where people go missing more often mm-hmm. than, there's lots of stories about people going missing in mm-hmm. national parks. And that area seems to happen more frequently than any other national park. It's there in Yosemite, I think, are the two that people always go missing from. So there is speculation that people are just disappearing into the mountain. Mm-hmm. And they're probably we're going to stay here. This is cool.
And some of them, are really crazy stories to where, there were three hikers that were going to climb the mountain. And so they were really cold as they were getting, packed up from where they stayed the night, and one of them was more cold than the other, so you go ahead to next place. It was only 600 feet 50 feet away from the stop what they were at to the next place. And they're like, go ahead so you can get your body moving. We'll follow behind you. And so it was only 650 feet away. Yeah, like
you could see that.
And during that time, he disappeared and nothing was found of this man. You couldn't, like, there wasn't any of his belongings found to this day. Like, no body.
Yeah.
Like, not an item of his pack that got left behind, just completely gone. Yeah.
And two fun facts. So you mentioned that they were very tall, very blonde, very, like my cousin Josh. We should put him in a robe and tell him to go to Mount Shasta.
Wander around.
But apparently one theory is that Hitler was obsessed with the Aryan race because he knew about Lemurians and because he was very into aliens.
Well, he was super into anything occulty.
Yeah. And there's even some German scientists who, when they came to America after the war, one of them was asked, where did you guys come up with all this technology? It's great. And he was like, we had some help. And he pointed up.
The aliens.
Yep. And there's a record of a spaceship crashing in a German town. And I guess a lot of the, is it Secret Service, right? Mm-hmm. They came and they, like, cordoned it off. The ship went missing. And apparently they, like, reverse engineered it. And a few days later, they were almost coming up with the A-bomb. So, yeah. But also, Amy Carlson from Love Has One, if you remember Bat Culties, her followers thought she was the queen of the Lemurians.
Oh, no. Yeah. Gotta eat silver.
Yep, gotta drink that silver.
So the other thing is there are another number, along with the Lemurians, there are a number of mythical creatures associated with Mount Shasta. I think the most popular one would be Bigfoot. So yeah, there's the Bigfoot Scenic Highway that runs through Shasta County, and you can, you know, take a tour of it.
There's an active website where you can see the recent Bigfoot's sightings, like as recently as like a week ago, and they're like,
wow,
they mark it on the map. Yeah. And they like describe, and it's like not just one hiker saw this, there were multiple families that all described the same thing of this like 8-foot shaggy red-haired ape-like beast.
Do you think he's just like a Lemurian that was kicked out? They're like, we don't want you here anymore, Steve.
There are stories about like it being a crossbreed of like a Lemurian type person and a bear.
Mm-hmm. What?
So Lemurian fucked the bear, or yes. Vice versa?
They were curious. they were just so advanced. They're like, yeah. That looks comfy.
That's like something I
but yeah, there's multiple things about like how it was a cross between like a bear, or like it's also like native legends where it was a like the princess of a tribe sort of thing, the chief's daughter that was taken by a bear and then was pregnant and had his child. And it was these Bigfoot creatures.
Hmm. So question for all of you with Lemurian, since it's thought that the city was in the Indian Ocean, one thing that's been brought up is Alfred Wegener had a theory of continental drift and how the lemurs are in two separate areas, mm-hmm. India and Madagascar, because of continental drift. So a lot of people, I guess, don't really believe in Lemuria anymore because it's been kind of proven continental drift is real. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Like, it's really intriguing. It's not like just there. Like it was more the idea that it was this continent that spanned over it, and it wasn't necessarily drift so much as like rising waters and stuff. Like there's a full-on underground city south of Japan that's mm-hmm. like there that is real. Like who knows when this got built. I don't know, it's just really intriguing to me because there's so many different legends around it. There are people that say they knew that it was going to sink. They actually have kind of reached the end of their time here, and they're like, uh-huh. We're going to leave some volunteers behind to try to continue to teach the human race, but the rest of us are going to return because they were star seeds that were here on Earth. There's also people that like link it to Atlantis and the fact that it was like the Lemurians who were going out to teach people, and they found a place that was an island off of Portugal, and them with the European people of the time. They had, like, kind of combined, but then they took, like, a darker route where it was all, like, civilization and crushing the others beneath their feet. Like, whereas the other Lumerians are more like living at one with nature. And, yeah, I don't know.
Put your top back on.
Woo! I don't know. It's, like, really fun. I don't know that I believe any of it, but it's really fun to think about.
Yeah.
And, yeah, did you know that another theory of, like, aside from them just deciding to ascend, there's also the theory that they were at war with the dark reptilians?
I knew that word was going to come up, reptilians.
Oh, yeah, there's a theory that there's reptilians in that mountain, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's that whole...
that's on my list.
Yeah.
I would prefer it to be Lemurians. I'm not a fan of...
seems more pleasant. Yeah. I don't want to hike Mount Shasta and be all... oh, there's a lizard person. Awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather hike Mount Shasta and be all, oh, there's a beautiful person in robes. They look lovely.
It's just my cousin Josh. Calm down.
Sean says hi.
Who's Sean? So, just a reminder, reptilians are theorized to be lizard people who can shapeshift into whatever form they want.
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney. And, what's his name with the fly on his head?
Oh, was it Pence that had the fly?
Pence, yeah, Mike Pence. People think he's a reptilian. But apparently they are trying to, they've taken over our government, and they are trying to reproduce with people and make hybrids and take over the world.
Mm-hmm. So that's why the Lemurians were in a war with them, because the Lemurians are good, and they're bad.
Lemurians seem good. Yeah. Reptilians are Justin Bieber.
Yes.
So another one that Rachel sent me that we ran across is feral people.
Feral people.
So there is an account of one guy, you kind of talked about him, where he was hiking by himself. I think he was 18 at the time, and he ran across to what he described as, like, feral people, and he walked within a few feet of them, and he tried to, like, wave and say hi, but they just stared at him. And, yeah, they apparently kept popping up along the trail.
They were all in the way.
Yeah, he said he threw his food over a tree so that animals couldn't get to it. And the next morning he woke up and it was taken down and eaten. A few nights later was when Rachel talked about it. He heard people all around his tent. And when he woke up, there's nobody around, but he saw footprints everywhere. And then eventually he saw the feral people a couple miles behind him, so he just ran. He said, I just ran and ran and ran. And he set up, and he said that night he heard people again, so he jumped out of his tent with a knife, and nobody was there. But then a guy chased him through the wilderness, and he hid under a root and got away. Yeah.
Fair people or Lumerians that just were fucking with this guy. Who knows?
But if they're nice, why were they fucking with
him? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the reptilians.
And by the way, we don't cuss on this show. This is a family show.
Lies.
Yeah, I wasn't sure I was really keeping it to a minimum, because I was like, do we say naughty words on this show?
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Fucking fantastic.
Yes.
Get off this show.
I also have heard that people who move to Mount Shasta, the town, have mostly, like, people say that they've been called to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I think I told Sean about this, but one of the people that, oddly enough, I've been watching the Kesha paranormal show on Discovery.
There's a Kesha paranormal star?
I told you this woman knows everything.
It's amazing.
What?
Seriously?
I want it. Okay.
Conjuring Kesha, everybody out there?
Yes.
Watch it. Watch the shit out of it. No, so she actually went to Mount Shasta also. And one of the things that they told her was that, you know, people feel called to that area. There's something innate within them that, like, goes, I'm going to go to Mount Shasta. And then they just don't leave. They were talking about one of the residents there, stopped there with a flat tire and then just never left.
Wow.
And just said, fuck it. I live here now.
I went on some hikes there, but I was like, I don't need to stay. It's because I'm not a Lemurian starseed, you guys. No.
Yeah.
I have never been to Mount Shasta. It's on my list of places.
Let's go.
I know, we should go, right?
Do you think our work needs us to go campaign there?
Let's find out. Let's find out. Yeah, I would actually really like to take a trip there.
I camped in McLeod, where they saw a jellyfish-type UFO. I don't know.
Ew.
They said it looks like a big jellyfish in the air.
And you got stung by a jellyfish.
I did.
And
it
peed on your neck.
I did not. It all links together.
It all links together. just like Saint Germain. All comes back to Saint Germain. Yeah, so that's one of the things that sort of, and you know, Mount Shasta is also supposedly on it's on a ley line, or maybe a crossing of ley lines, actually. Just like Ojai, just like Sedona.
Vortex.
Yeah, there's a vortex.
So it's weird, since you bring up the ley line, is apparently a lot of the mountains are connected through the ley lines. Mm-hmm. Like Mount Everest is connected to Shasta through these ley lines.
I really think there's an actual geographical, like, scientific reason for that, but it is interesting. I mean, ley lines can be scientifically justified as well, but I like thinking more of them as magic hoochie-boochie.
Yeah. Well, and there's a big thought that the ley lines are like the houses of these portals, and that you can, like, use these portals to travel to other dimensions, other worlds, or to the other ley line locations. And you'll have natural places on these ley lines, like Mount Shasta, but then you'll also have man-made or man- and alien-made things on other locations. Like, they say the pyramids is basically a man-made version of what Mount Shasta already is, with the way that the water goes down below it, that it creates this electrical current that powers something. Who knows what? But it's fun. It's really fun to read about. Like, and they talk about, like, there's places where people say at Mount Shasta, like in this Pluto's cave, where people have seen a person just, like, walk into a wall and disappear. Very platform 9 3/4. They've seen, like, ships.
That was your theory.
In the air. Yeah. Ships in the air that would, like, fly in and just disappear. And it's because they're using that as a portal to go to the other location.
Wakanda. Hogwarts. Or Wakanda.
Yeah.
So I did hear another story. I think you, because all three of us, at least, I don't know about you, Natasha. I don't know your life. Wow. We watched season 17, episode 4
of Ancient Aliens.
Which talked about Mount Shasta. And one of the stories that came up in 2001, a 3-year-old boy went missing for 5 hours.
5 hours.
He went missing with the family dog, and they found the dog wet next to a river. But the boy, 5 hours later, just was standing next to the trail like, hey, y'all, I'm here.
And that's the first place where they look. They always start from the trail and move outward.
Mm-hmm. And about a month later, he was talking to his grandma, and he told her he does not like his other grandma.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the story as well. Yeah.
He said she was scary. He claimed that the other grandma took him to a cave where, his words, robot-looking people took him underground and repeatedly asked if he was okay. He said it was full of spiders, guns, purses, and other robot people.
Purses?
I left my purse underground at Mount Shasta, unfortunately. Never saw it again.
He says they told him that he's an alien and asked him to lay down so they could look at his tummy.
So I think more importantly is, what kind of purses? Were they expensive? You're still on that. Were they Balenciaga? I need to know.
Okay, I will look.
Can you find out?
I'll ask the 3-year-old.
Perfect. I think the purses took place of the gold.
Oh,
the gold. They were gold purses.
Yeah, gold purses.
Sweet.
But what really creeped out the grandma, two things, is he told her the exact same story a year and a half later when he was 4 1/2. So I guess the only difference is he called it a dungeon instead of a cave, but everything else was spot on. But she said that it creeped her out because she had camped in that area like a year before the 3-year-old went missing. And she said while she was there, her and her friend both woke up with their face in the dirt. Oh. And they had a mark on the back of their neck, like someone had injected them. And they both got very physically sick after that. So some people speculate that the boy called it his other grandmother because they're like, did they clone her?
Oh.
Ew.
Yeah, very Coraline with the other mother.
Other mother.
So, yeah, I just thought that was a fun story to bring up.
Super fun.
Yeah.
We love fun things.
We love fun things.
Like children disappearing. Being taken advantage by aliens.
I think you'd make a good comedy.
Super good. Super duper good.
Did you know that in 2000, we'll call it 8-ish, a hole appeared in the side of Mount Shasta? About 60 feet deep. No one knows how it got there. No one. It looks like it was dug by hand, but who the hell is going to dig a 60-foot hole by hand?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of work, and I'd be really tired after, like,
it's a lot of
8 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. And some people think they're trying to, like, dig and look for this.
Yeah, so the diggers, no one knows who they are, but they left behind a ladder, some buckets, and a plastic water bottle.
And something that said 7 days.
7 days. No. And a videotape. Just kidding.
You really had me there.
It's coming out in theaters soon.
I contemplated seeing how long I could go with that.
Found footage.
I'll call it the hoop.
Yeah, so that's one of the recent events that happened in Mount Shasta that is thus far unexplained. People are still trying to figure out why they were digging a 60-foot hole in the side of the mountain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that I find really entertaining is how so many of these legends, like, have equivalents in other cultures. Like, one thing interesting about the Lemurian thing is they called them, like, the shiny ones and really talked about them, like, being glowy figures. And then there's also legends in Celtic things about the shiny ones, the Tuatha De Danann. Which are very fairy-like.
Can
there's
you say
also
that again, three times.
Tuatha De Danann. Tuatha De Danann. Tuatha De Danann. Yeah, no, I don't even know if I'm saying that right because Celtic words.
because Gaelic is spelled completely wrong.
Insanely. Samhain.
Yeah,
Samhain. Like the ancient Sumerians had legends around these, and like. Then also there's the elements of Native Americans having legends around these, and the fact that these were all located all across the world but had the same things, like thinking about the sunken continent, how it's not just like in Greece they had this legend of Atlantis, but also all the islands in Malaysia and Polynesian have these common stories about there was a land where their ancestors were, but it sunk beneath the sea. And that's where they learned a lot of things from. It's where they learned to be great navigators. Moana. Oh, yeah. Maui, apparently, is one of the people. The god Maui is one of the people that came from the sunken island, which I found really fun. And they also use crystals for technology, which... I love to see myself some Disney using these ancient stories. But yeah, and like even the idea of the sinking island can like people say, oh, that's kind of very equivalent to the Noah legend, how like there was a great flood that took everything
like,
over.
I think most ancient civilizations have a great flood story of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's
like the Incans had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that civilizations on completely opposite sides of the planet would have the same stories at roughly the same time in history as well. Like, it's not like it would have traveled, you know, hundreds of years somewhere else. It's like these happened almost exactly at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just and cool. One thing, they talk about this a lot on my new show, Ancient Aliens. They talk about a lot of the events from the Bible, but looking at it as like a lot of the gods come from the skies and even angels. The Bible never described angels as having wings. Mm-hmm. That was a man-made thing later. So a lot of these different, like you said, civilizations talk about
sky
the gods or sky people like coming in a metallic, you know,
chariot
or a metallic like spinning wheels and things like
spinning
that.
Wheel.
So there's a lot of things to say that, aliens walked among us and then they just kind of gave up on it.
Humanity isn't worth saving.
Yeah.
Except for the Lemurians. They're still here. They're still trying to get us up to that fifth dimension.
Yeah,
but they're hiding
in
a mountain.
Because
they're like, fuck this planet. We're going to stay in this mountain.
Yeah.
We're just gonna
until you guys learn better. We'll turn ourselves invisible.
Yeah. Cool. So that was fun. That was a trip down crazy lane. Alan.
Yes.
Which of these different legends would you say you most believe or are most interested in?
Well, I don't know if I believe, but the Lemurians, like what I'm having trouble grasping is that, okay, so they're on a continent in the Indian Ocean, but then they go all the way to, like, North America.
Well, I heard it's not the Indian Ocean. I heard it's actually where Hawaii is.
Yeah, that was the other one I heard.
Yeah, so there's two that we heard, but, like, if the Indian Ocean one was true, it's like, why can't you just go to, like, Asia, which is just, like,
yeah, right there, you know? All the way north.
Yeah. So unless, like, they were driven to Mount Shasta.
They followed a current.
Well, yeah. Some people think that they chose Mount Shasta because it was around the time of the comet hitting the Earth. Mm-hmm. So Mount Shasta would have been a place that they could be protected from that and survive.
Okay. How would they know where it was, though? Yeah. In the middle of the ocean.
They're, like, super smart.
Well, because they have, like, ways of getting places. Remember, they could travel those ley lines to different locations. So they're popping over to the pyramids. They're popping over. Like, Shasta was on a ley line, and that's how they got places. They would transport.
You're just making shit up now.
They walk into the wall and are gone. Pop into other locations. I'll have you know that I've been to three of the portals that they were listing amongst portals. I have been to Mount Shasta, I've been to Machu Picchu, and I've been to the pyramids. So
I've been to Ojai and Sedona.
Oh, I've also been to Ojai and Sedona.
Covered the local. So you guys want to know how Shasta got its name?
Okay, yeah. The cola?
No one really knows.
Oh. Wow.
So it could have come from Russian origin. Russian settlers on the California coast who could see the summit of the mountain called it Chastal, which means white or pure.
It would.
And this may have eventually just turned into Shasta. Another explanation is that one of the native indigenous tribes was known as the Shastika, called the mountain Waika. So the Shastika or the Sustika was also may have been the personal name for a respected Indian that lived in what is Shasta Valley. And that may have been how it got their name as well. So there's a couple, it's kind of weird, like Russia, native, similar, but different.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. No
Maybe
one really
the
knows.
The Russians are the aliens.
Maybe they are.
Oh no, they have my van!
That's why they got to the moon first. No?
One thing I also I found interesting about the Native American tribes is that they really revere the mountain for its mystical powers, and a lot of them have this kind of warning that you shouldn't go above the tree line because that belongs to grandfather. It's sacred land. And some of the things I love to think about is, like, okay, what might be a more normal reason for why this kind of legend started? And I feel like it is very fair that that could have also been a safety thing. When you're going above the tree line, you're going to places where avalanches happen all
and
the time.
The oxygen's lower.
The oxygen
as well.
Is
yeah.
lower, where, like, death is more likely right. to happen. So I also love just thinking, like, the way that the teachings of things just to keep you safe become the legends. Like, that's the same thing, like, with the Bible,
and
with the commandments, where you're not
pork,
supposed to eat the pork, like, yeah. or the sea. Food,
yeah, and it's
on
only because yeah, it's only
because
they
it would
could,
go bad by
yeah,
that time.
Exactly.
They're keeping you from getting food poisoning.
In the meantime, it's just like you're gonna go to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
That's
accurate.
A good turn. So, Natasha,
yeah,
which one are you most interested in?
I kind of like the Lemurians. I think they're really fascinating. There's that whole Hollow Earth theory also, you know, like
yeah.
that there's that, and I'm really fascinated by that, and I am interested to know if there's any that holds water. Because, I mean, who's been to the middle of the Earth? Fucking nobody. Nobody.
Who else?
No one.
You know, and so there's that, there's Hollow Earth theory, and there's the whole shit in Antarctica that's like, you can't see from Google Earth because it's all hidden, right? So
ice wall.
Yeah, the ice wall. I mean, there's so many things that ties all these strange things on this planet sort of together. So, I don't know. I feel like there's so many things that are deliberately kept from people. I think there's something there. I think there's something there.
I just found a new one. It's kind of like Flat Earth, but it expands on it. Where basically, we only know about this much of the Earth, this tiny bit. And there's actually 20 other continents outside of...
Oh, so we've just never flown there in a plane.
Because
yeah,
of
nobody's
the ice
flown
wall,
over it. Because of the ice
which
wall.
Which clearly goes up so high that planes can't go by
it. So it goes up literally to this Okay.
Well, the government the government knows about it because that's where they're hiding the ancient civilizations, the aliens. Mm-hmm. They're all living on continents outside of our
known
Earth.
People in the ISS right now are just all, oh, there it is.
Yeah. I hate your theory.
I hate it too, actually.
I hate what you got me.
Because, yeah, I'm the same way. Somebody would have happened upon it accidentally. There would be something.
Eels.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, but, you know, I think it's interesting that so many people have gone missing there without, like, really without a trace, you know? Like, yeah. There's been no evidence of them leaving anything behind. Mm-hmm. They just vanish. So I think that's an interesting, what's taking them? Mm-hmm. Where are they going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, I'm intrigued by the Lemurian thing. It's just fun. It's just a fun thing. And, like, the way that it even relates into so many different cultures is kind of neat. And, I feel like it could have had its own episode where we did a deep dive into everything.
I see what you did there.
And like even with it relating to star seeds, which I've been like learning about and playing around with, I'm like, that's kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah. I'd say I'm most into the Anunnaki because that's our past, that's our history. It is interesting, though, because the more I'm learning about aliens, the more I'm looking at our pop culture, and I'm like, all these fuckers before us knew all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked about how Marvel and DC both have their version of the Lemurians. The Atlanteans and the Lemurians don't get along. And then if you look at, like, Stargate, that's an actual theory that the portals were opening up to other planets and things like that. So, yeah, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, cool.
No. Also, I just want to see Bigfoot. That's really it. Just from afar, though, not up close. Like,
he's way
out there. He's probably not.
I've seen Harry and the Hendersons. Nice. He's nice.
Yeah.
There's a movie that Bobcat Goldthwait did about Bigfoot, and it's supposed to be like a found footage kind of thing. I can't remember the name of it to save my life, but it's scared.
Sounds like a winner.
Scared the shit out of me, because, you know, it's this couple that goes camping in the middle of the woods, and it's like where Bigfoot has been seen, and you don't ever see him or it or her or whatever it is, Bigfoot.
They.
But it's almost Blair Witchy in that, like, there's all the sounds outside of their tent, and it, like, he scratches up their tent, and it's fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really feel like that is what Bigfoot would be like, IRL.
I will tell you, while doing many, many hikes alone in the Pacific Northwest, I didn't yet see him, which is a little bit disappointing.
You don't ever see anything.
I hiked for miles and miles alone in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I hike by myself quite a lot. Also, I never see anything creepy or weird. I did hear a bobcat once, and I immediately went back to my car.
I saw a bobcat once. It was wonderful. Actually, I've seen one twice, but once on a hike when I was alone.
Yeah, I heard one just, like, shrieking in the wilderness. I'm all, it's time for me to go. He sounds
well,
hungry.
If it was shrieking, it probably wasn't a bobcat. It was probably a cougar.
That's what I meant. Did I say bobcat? I meant that.
Yeah, no.
A mountain lion.
That would be scary. I don't want to see a mountain lion. And if you ever hear something that sounds like a woman just screaming in the woods, it's probably a banshee. Or a banshee.
How can we call them bobcats, not Robert cats?
Because they're actually bob-tailed cats. Did you know that? They just have a little tail.
Okay.
Yeah. They're so cute until they claw your face off.
Yay!
Aw, ow, ow. Okay, you're not cute anymore.
Cool. So, Natasha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for telling me to watch Skinwalker Ranch and all these other crazy shows. Mm-hmm. Now I have Kesha to watch.
Kesha!
Yeah. I've not been a huge Kesha fan, really, but then I watched her show and I'm all, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
I want to spend the rest of my life with her, too.
Natasha is rubbing her nipples as she says this.
I am literally doing that right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll be back in 2 weeks with Zendik Farms, finally.
Yes. Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you want to hear more of Rachel,
you can find me on A Real Bodice Ripper, a podcast about the problematic nature of romance novels, but also how delicious they are.
And you can find me on Solving for X, where Kevin and I are going through the original X-Men, the animated series, episode by episode. Mm. We just finished season 2.
And you can find us as well on The Marvelous Galaxy of Disney, where we talk about all things Star Wars, Marvel, and, of course, Disney.
Woo!
Do you want people to find you?
You can find me nowhere because I don't have a podcast either.
You can find Natasha in Mount Shasta with her people.
She's going to run through a wall and disappear.
And disappear forever.
Cool. Thank you for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.